Good morning. Thank you again for being here as we study from God's Word together. Appreciate your presence with us this morning. Let me introduce our topic with an excerpt from an article by Robert Turner. Those of you who knew Brother Turner knew that he had a knack for getting to the point and sometimes a humorous way. Well, we've got the Harris here who knew Turner very well. He wrote this in one article: "A certain preacher secretary told my wife, the story often originates with a third party to sound authentic and to remove responsibility from the tale-bearer, nurses, secretaries, the maid, or anyone likely to come upon confidential information will do. You know, he's been out of town a lot lately. Give it an element of truth, fit it in with a few known facts to make it just plausible enough to swallow. I dislike telling this, but I know it is my Christian duty." Well, by all means, do your duty. The scriptures say, rebuke before all, and by taking them one at a time, you can have a whole juicy week of it. Clearly, your duty to tell all outweighs your duty to check for accuracy. Go to the party involved and offer genuine assistance in making correction, and consider the effect that this publicity will have on many innocent people. And on the article went. We want to study the sin of gossip this morning. You know, this is one of those problems. Actually, both lessons today are about things that are very practical, things that we can get a hold on, that we can understand, but are very hard for us to apply and really to become guilt-free in regard to these things. Hard to completely eliminate gossip from our lives. But we want to try to answer some questions about gossip using the Bible this morning. First of all, what is gossip? It does take a little bit of effort to try to fully understand what qualifies as gossip. Not all things that we say about other people, I think, would qualify as gossip. Let's just think about what the Bible tells us in regard to this. The word gossip appears several times in the New American Standard Bible. It's translated whisperings in the King James Version, which begins to reveal to us part of the meaning of the word gossip. But it does take a little bit of time to try to identify exactly what qualifies as gossip. Let me put on the screen the verses that we have in the New Testament that mention or use the word gossip or gossips. Just for the sake of going quickly, we'll have them on the screen. Romans 1, 29 and 30, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God. Some of these, the context really does not teach us much about the word itself. I mean, we learn from this list, gossip obviously is a bad thing, it's a wrong thing to do, but doesn't define the word too well in that context. 2 Corinthians 12:20, "For I'm afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, the disturbances." 1 Timothy 3:11, "Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things." And then we have 1 Timothy 5:13, "At the same time they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention." That verse gives us a little more context in which we can understand the idea of gossip. First of all, it's related to being a busybody, and it's talking about things not proper to mention. 2 Timothy 3:3, "Unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good." And finally, Titus 2:3, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good." The Greek word, so we get a little context here from some of these verses. The Greek word itself is defined as follows. Strong says in his dictionary that that Greek word means whispering, that is, secret detraction. Another dictionary says it means a whispering, particularly of slander and detraction. Vincent's Word Study says it means secret slanders. And so we have this idea of something that's secret, you know, something that we do behind somebody's back. It's not to their face. This is something we do behind somebody's back, just like we read in 1 Timothy 5:13, gossips and busybodies talking about things which are not proper to mention. In English, the word gossip is defined as a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others or the content of the message itself, a rumor or report of an intimate nature. And so I realize I'm throwing a lot of information at once at you here at the beginning, trying to get a handle on the concept of what gossip is. Turn your Bibles, though, to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's do a little bit of reading here to consider also what doesn't qualify as gossip. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's realize that not all personal or even negative communication would qualify as gossip. And the reason I can say that is that we have examples here of inspired men revealing things about others, sometimes negative things. But of course, the Holy Spirit is certainly not inspiring them to commit the sin of gossip. And so not all negative things that are said about others is gossip. Not all personal information that's revealed about others is necessarily gossip. Let's refer to a few passages here to get some of these examples. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14 says this. Paul writes, Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. Notice the content of the message. He's writing about Alexander here. Notice the content of the message is negative. He's saying something negative to Timothy here about this other man, Alexander. But notice, what was Paul's intent? Notice that he is writing to Timothy to warn Timothy about Alexander and to warn him about that same sort of harm coming to him. Verse 15, be on guard against him yourself. And so Paul was doing right by warning Timothy. He was not, you know, spreading some malicious rumor. Here's a warning that he's giving to this young man, Timothy. How about another example over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 10 and 11. Here is where we find out that Chloe and her household had evidently contacted Paul with some negative information about the congregation there in Corinth. Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, he says, Now I exhort you, brethren, and by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. So Chloe's household, or Chloe's people, had contacted Paul about the division here in Corinth. Now the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to condemn all these other problems, errors, that there were there in Corinth, including the division that he's talking about right here in chapter 1. He does not condemn Chloe for her contacting Paul and asking for help. Why not? Well, I think the motivation behind there has to be considered. Here is Chloe appealing to the Apostle Paul to get help in this problem of division, and they get that help. They were doing right. They did not have ill motives. They were not trying to reveal these sensational tidbits. She's asking for help. She's appealing to Paul for sincere help. How about Galatians chapter 2? Another example here of some negative information revealed, in this case about Cephas. Remember what Paul says about Cephas or Peter? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11, when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and to hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in their hypocrisy, and so on the account goes. He is telling these Galatians something here negative about Cephas. Why is he doing that? Well, consider a second example, kind of along those lines, over in the book of 3 John, verses 9 and 10. And notice what John here says about Diotrephes, these negative comments about Diotrephes. So this is 3 John, verses 9 and 10. He says, I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either, and he forbids those who desire to do so, and puts them out of the church. When Paul wrote to the Galatians, was he gossiping about Cephas? And when John is writing this letter to Gaius, is he gossiping about Diotrephes? Well, certainly the Holy Spirit's not inspiring them to commit the sin of gossip, right? And so there's something different about these examples that we have and what we read of in the Bible as condemned as gossip. The information is recorded here in these last two examples as an example of how to deal with sin directly. For one thing, you notice that John here says he's, when he gets the chance, he's going to deal with Diotrephes directly. He's going to call this personally to his attention. And in Galatians chapter 2, Paul says, I've already done that with Cephas. I withstood him to his face right then. So this is not something, you know, behind their back that they haven't already said something to or don't plan to say something to the person themselves about. But here again, notice the difference in the motivation. They're not just out trying to, you know, sell some story. Here is something sincerely that they're trying to do to fix the problems that existed. And from such examples, I think we can learn that the content of the communication is not the sole deciding factor in whether or not something is gossip or not. I think we also have to consider the motivation to be of utmost importance here. The examples we read, Paul and Chloe and John, and I'm sure others we could find, their intent was to accomplish good. Their intent was to do right. They were not spreading rumors. They were not revealing sensational tidbits about other people. They were not feeding itching ears. They were warning, they were seeking help, and they were condemning sin. Let me put, this is my definition up on the screen, and maybe you could word it better, but this is the best I can do at defining what gossip is. The sharing of personal or negative information, either true or false, about someone else without righteous intent. So the sharing of personal information, you know, just stuff that's kind of secret, ought not to be revealed to other folks, or it might be negative information. It might be true or false. You know, sometimes we say, well, it's not gossip, that's true. You know, I'm saying something that's true about them. Well, it might be true, but still it might be something inappropriate to reveal to other people, something that's private, of a private nature and so forth. And that motivation, I think, also must be considered. It's something that we do without righteous intent. Let's remember that God is the judge in all these things. He determines, of course, if the words that we've spoken are gossip or are not. And he'll know if we're trying to do that which is right. If you gave me a list of 100 things somebody said and asked me which ones are gossip, well, that'd be really hard for me to try to determine, not being able to read hearts like God does. But one thing we need to be careful of, just tagging a certain phrase to the beginning or the end of what we say doesn't necessarily keep it from being gossip, or doesn't keep it from being gossip. For example, we might say something like, have you heard about so-and-so, and he did such-and-so, and we gossip, and then at the end we say, but I'm only telling you this so that you can pray for this person. Well, that person may very well need prayers and sincerely be in need of God's help in whatever situation they are in. But what they don't necessarily need is you spreading the details of a private nature and personal nature of their problems to all other people. You know, if you want to ask others to pray for someone, we can do just that. And we can just say, you know, so-and-so could use prayers. And we don't have to reveal all the details and go into all of the problems that are there of a private nature of the problem. We can just simply ask for the prayers of other people. I'm afraid that when we start getting too deep into these things and start revealing too many details, that we quickly become guilty of that which is gossip. And consider some of the other things we might say. We say, well, I don't mean to gossip, but, and then we gossip. You know, I don't think just saying at the beginning this little phrase in front then discounts what we do. I wouldn't tell this to just anyone, but, you know, so we're limiting our gossip. I don't think that is acceptable. This isn't gossip because it's the truth. Like we said, it might just be something. It's true, all right, but it's just not appropriate to be spreading around to all other people. Or we might say, well, you know, he's a nice guy, but, and that sort of thing. Or we say, well, bless his heart, you know, and we think, well, that kind of makes up for what we're gossiping about. Or he might say, well, I'm just telling you this because I want to see what you think. As one man said, when we ask for advice, we're usually looking for an accomplice. And I understand, certainly, that there are times that it helps to have another person's perspective on a situation. And legitimately, we are looking for help, and we don't know how to deal with whatever is going on. But we would do well to speak anonymously enough, vaguely enough, so that we can get our help without being guilty of the sin of gossip. God's the judge of these things. I'm trying to point out some guidelines that will help us not be guilty of this sin. In other words, there are ways of getting advice about situations without getting specific, without running down other people. When do we cross the line? You know, we're trying to do something good. When are we going beyond the right thing? And now we're starting to gossip. When is it that we've crossed the line? Well, that's hard for me to say. God is the one who's the judge. The right thing to do, I know, is to err on the side of caution. Let's be warned by Jesus' words in Luke 16:15. You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. So like I say, getting a grasp on just exactly what qualifies as gossip takes a little bit of effort, and we need to give some thought to the words that we're speaking. But let's move on and consider another question here, and that is to ask, what's so dangerous about gossip? I would offer a few reasons why it's so dangerous. Number one, it severs our relationship with God. I mean, first and foremost, Matthew 12:36, Jesus said, I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Look over in the book of James chapter 1. And remember what's said in verse 26. James chapter 1 and in verse 26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Does God care what comes out of our mouths? Absolutely, right? This is something that God is very careful about and instructs us to be careful about. He does care. Romans 1, as we read, gossip is listed right along these other, you know, sins that we would say, these are terrible sins. Murder, hatred of God, and gossip listed right along with them. We don't want to be in that category. So first and foremost, just the fact that gossip is sin will cause conscientious people to guard their lips with great care. We do not want to sin. We do not want to sever our relationship with God. But another thing that's so dangerous about gossip is that this is an attractive sin. Look back in the book of Proverbs, and we'll have a lot of reading to do now from the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, first of all, please. And notice what's said in verse 8. So Proverbs 18 and verse 8. The Holy Spirit is just the master communicator, and we're going to see that here in some of the figures of speech that he uses here. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a whisperer, I'm reading the New American Standard, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Dainty morsels. I mean, it's like candy. It's like a dessert. Here's these nice things. It's sweet tasting, and it's just hard to get enough of that. This is an attractive sin. This is a sin that we tend to get caught up into. And this is something that is easy to just get caught up listening to and then sharing these juicy tidbits about other people. And that's what makes it so dangerous. It's easy to do. It's easy to get in a habit of doing this, and then it's hard to break that habit. Gossip just goes on and on and on because we like it. And that's why it's dangerous. Not only is it a sin, but this is an attractive sin. Just look at the gossip magazines. I don't know how much business they do. Millions, billions, I don't know. Why? Because we love to hear who got divorced and the details of that and who said what and all these sorts of things. Gossip. It's an attractive sin. And we need to be careful about what we are attracted to here. We'll have more to say about this later when we discuss how to stop gossip. But this is an attractive sin, and therefore it's dangerous. Thirdly, it hurts relationships. Go back to Proverbs chapter 16. You know, this is true of families. This is true among friends. It's true in churches. It's true in nations. Jeremiah, in fact, said when the nation of Judah was in shambles, when it was about to go into captivity, he said gossip was just something that was commonplace. Jeremiah said, every brother deals craftily and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Jeremiah 9:4. And so as a society deteriorates, here's something that really picks up. And this is something that's a part of that. Proverbs chapter 16 and 28. Look at the damage to relationships. Verse 28 says, a perverse man spreads strife and a slanderer separates intimate friends. And then also while you're there, chapter 17 and verse 9, he who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. Here's the damage on an earthly standpoint that's happening to our relationships. And then also look in chapter 25, Proverbs chapter 25. Look at verses 9 and 10. Here it says, "Argue your case with your neighbor, and do not reveal the secret of another, or he who hears it will reproach you, and the evil report about you will not pass away." Harm that's being done among our relationships. And then one more on this point, chapter 26 and verse 20. Here again, one of these figures of speech that makes it very clear to us. 26:20, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down." We get that, right? You stop adding fuel to the flames, and this just goes away. If we were able to just stop gossiping, then here's something that would stop hurting our relationships. Someone wrote, "I am more deadly than the screaming shell of the cannon. I win without killing. I tear down homes, break hearts, wreck lives. I travel on the wings of the wind. No innocence is strong enough to intimidate me. No purity pure enough to daunt me. I have no regard for truth, no respect for justice, no mercy for the defenseless. My victims are as numerous as the sands of the sea and often as innocent. I never forget, and I seldom forgive. My name is gossip." Wonder how many tears have been shed because of gossip. Hurt relationships. I wonder how many churches have split because of gossip. I wonder how many churches that would have split anyway, the situation was made much more ugly because of gossip. This is a terrible sin. This is something that we need to be careful to guard against. We don't want to have any part of something, first of all, that severs our relationship with God, and secondly, damages so many relationships. Brethren, let us be careful not to gossip. This is a dangerous sin. A fourth reason it's dangerous is that it becomes something that you cannot fix. I'm talking about the earthly consequences of this. James 3:5, "See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire." You know, remember, once you say something, you can't control how often it will be repeated. Somebody described it like saying, taking a feather pillow and cutting it open in the wind, and the feathers fly everywhere, and then trying to go get all the feathers and restuff the pillow. It's just virtually impossible. Here's something, the consequence of which can be very great. And once we say something unsavory, once we say some tidbit of gossip, I cannot control how often somebody repeats that and puts my name with it. David told me this about so-and-so, and I'm just passing on that David said this, but you know, I just can't control that. I can repent, I can pray for forgiveness, and I can take care of the spiritual side of things, but here's something that has great earthly consequences. Just like a murderer cannot resurrect his victim, even though he might find spiritual forgiveness. And so there is this earthly consequence that in many ways it is unable to take back. And so, you know, especially these days when we've got Facebook and pleonasts and all this, we can't control somebody quoting us on the internet, and there's just no end. You know, we can really get ourselves into trouble here. And if the spiritual side doesn't scare you, just the fact that it's sin doesn't scare us away from this, maybe we should consider also the earthly consequences and how permanent those things can be. Well, this is a dangerous sin. A good question to ask then is, how do we stop gossiping? Given the dangers of this particular sin, how do we put energy and what do we do to stop gossiping? Number one, apply the muzzle. We all know what that means. Stop gossiping. How do you stop gossiping? By stopping gossiping. That's the trick to it. Apply the muzzle. David wrote, "I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle." Psalm 39 and verse 1. He wasn't talking specifically about gossip in that passage, but this method certainly works with gossip. You will simply have to decide to become, first of all, aware of gossip in your life and the tendency you might have to gossip in your conversations. And then you have to decide to stop engaging in that. Stop the cycle. Be the broken link in the chain. Look again in the book of Proverbs, this time chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, and notice what we read down there in verse 13. Proverbs 11:13 says, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter." There it is. Stop gossiping. Stop spreading this around. Here's the one who's trustworthy and conceals the matter. And then in Proverbs chapter 21 and in verse 23, it says this. 21:23, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. You remember the statement we have, James 1:19? Slow to speak. So often I think we're guilty of gossip and a lot of other language-related sins because we're not slow to speak. And our emotions or whatever it is gets us, and we say things before we think about it and before we consider the consequence of our words. And it's hard to stop that. And one of the strategies we need to use in applying this muzzle is slowing down and thinking before we just let these words fly out and before we know it, we're guilty of gossip. Number one, apply the muzzle. Secondly, stop listening to gossip. The best we can. We can't control other people. But look in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19. Here it says in 20:19, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a gossip. Plan something to say when you hear gossip. You know, and this is going to be one of those things, a habit that we need to form and things that we need to do in order to build a reputation around ourselves. And one of the things we can do is plan something to say. As soon as you start hearing gossip, you know, it's hard in the moment to think of what to say. So plan something. You know, I just don't like that stuff. Just upsets me. You know, I just can't listen to that stuff. Please don't tell me anymore. You know, plan something for us to say. As we've said before, gossip is an attractive sin. And if others will learn over time that we're not attracted to it, that we're doing our best to resist this, then hopefully they'll stop bringing that to us. And certainly we ought not to fish for gossip, right? I mean, that's easy to do. We say, well, we know something's going on, you know, and do you know about so-and-so? Unfortunately, when we fish, usually we end up catching something, and we're just inviting that into our lives. So not listening to gossip is one way to stop that cycle. Don't gossip ourselves. Try to do the best we can to stop listening to gossip. Number three, change your thinking about others. And here we're trying to get to the core of the problem here. Jesus talked about the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. You know, just like all speech, gossip begins in our heart or in our mind. Here's what we're thinking about other people, and then that's what we say about other people. So the root issue really goes back to our thinking. And so when we stop gossiping, we apply that muzzle, it's like we're turning off that valve, turning off that faucet, our mouth. And we're suffocating those thoughts that are in our head. In other words, we no longer have that verbal outlet for the things that we think about other people. And hopefully we turn that faucet off, we apply that muzzle, and therefore it will just suffocate those thoughts that we have about other people. But that's the root issue. We need to stop thinking about others in a negative way and stop viewing others as people that are there for us to talk about. As they say, if you don't use it, you lose it. So let's stop using gossip, and hopefully we can find no place, no outlet, no exercise for those thoughts we have. Hopefully that will work with our gossip. You know, if you never allow yourself to use those thoughts in conversation, you'll lose them. The goal is to stop thinking bad things and adopt God's method of dealing with other people and God's mindset in regard to dealing with others. What do you do when another person has been overtaken in a fault? Galatians chapter 6 tells us, restore such a one to help them bear their burden, not to go out and gossip about them. What do we do? How are we to use our language? Ephesians 4:29 says words are to edify, to build up, not to tear down. Not so we can go out and use our words to gossip about somebody. And so instead of viewing our fellow man as someone to talk about, let's view them as someone that we hope one day to live with in heaven. And if there's a legitimate problem there, instead of gossiping about it, why don't we adopt God's mindset and do what we can to help? If nothing else, let's pray for that person. Well, there's some strategies for us stopping gossiping. Now then, the next point, I'm not sure how popular it will be. Maybe you'll cancel the meeting after this one. Let me just say this, in all seriousness, I'm just going to make an observation from the text and ask a question. Fair enough. A special warning to women. But before I talk about women, let me talk about men, specifically fathers. In Colossians 3:21 and Ephesians 6:4, fathers specifically are told not to exasperate their children, not to provoke them to anger. Why did God specify in both of those verses fathers, men? Is it because He's okay with moms provoking their children to anger? Well, certainly that's not the case. Why did He specify men? Could it possibly be that God gave these warnings specifically to men because men tend to have shorter tempers and to be a little less compassionate with children, and that we need this extra warning, need this extra reminder and specificity in these verses? Well, that's something for us to consider. Now then, go back to these verses we read in the New Testament that mention gossip. Notice that three of them are specifically directed to women. 1 Timothy 3:11, women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips. 1 Timothy 5, younger widows learn to be idle, also gossips and busybodies. Titus 2:3, older women are not to be malicious gossips. Now that's the text. Let me just ask a question. Do women have more of a tendency to gossip than men? Is this why half of the warnings about gossip in the New Testament are directed specifically to women? Well, I told you I was going to make an observation from the text and ask the question. That's what I've done. I just submit that for your consideration. Ultimately, it doesn't matter why the Holy Spirit did that. We know it's wrong for men. We know it's wrong for women. But I do know this. It certainly is not okay for women to rationalize and to permit gossip by saying things like, well, you know, that's just kind of the way we are. And when we get together, that's just kind of the girly things that we talk about when a group of us gets together. Well, if anything, God is specifically addressing women with this topic. So let's be careful not to use that rationalization. In other words, God tells fathers specifically not to exasperate their children, even though, and especially because, it might take special effort on the part of men not to do that very thing. And God has several passages specifically directed to women about the sin of gossip, even though it might take special restraint on their part not to do so. I preached a sermon one place, and afterwards a lady said she had another category for me to add, and that's preachers. Not saying that because George is here. I say that everywhere I preach this. But she related the story of driving to a meeting, her and her husband, years ago with three preachers, and of course they'd preached around and knew a bunch of brethren, and she said the whole way there and back, it was just gossip, and it was a terrible experience for her. So maybe we can add preachers as another category here who need to be especially careful. But the bottom line is, we all need to be careful. Men, women of all professions. And rededicate ourselves to guarding our words so that we do not commit the destructive and the condemned sin of gossip. If in doubt, we have verses that point the safe route. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Brethren, let's be careful about this sin and all sins. If you have never started a walk with God, He says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11:6. And we know that we must repent of our sins, Acts 2:38, and confess the faith we have, Romans 10:9 and 10, and be baptized so that we can be saved, 1 Peter 3:21. If there's something you need to do, if you want to make it or do it publicly, ask for help in a public way, please come forward as we stand and sing to encourage you.